The past couple of weeks, we've been speaking about various aspects of davening in general. We spoke about whether the obligation to pray is a biblical obligation, is it rabbinic? We discussed the obligation of women to pray. We discussed different rites, different nuscha'os in tefillah. Last week, we spoke a bit about the history of tefillah. And one of the points that we mentioned last week is that from the Gemara, we notice very little about davening. The Gemara has a few texts that are recited as davening. One of the texts that the Gemara has actually is what we'll discuss tonight, is the Birchas HaShachar, is the morning blessings. That's one of the texts that we have. But there's very little in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that gives us the text of davening. Siddur, the fact that there's a set text to pray, came much later. And what we noted last week is that the earliest Siddurim come from the time period of the Gaonim, from like the 9th century. Yeah. And we said that the earliest Siddur is a work by Rabbi Netrunai Gaon, right? And then there's a work by Rabbi Amram Gaon. Basically, there was a question that was sent to Rabbi Netrunai Gaon as to the fact that, you know, the Gemara says that you should say 100 blessings every day. What are those 100 brachos? And Rabbi Netrunai goes through what those 100 brachos are, and in so doing, that's the earliest Siddur. Later on, Rabbi Amram Gaon has a tshuva, which basically is an interesting tshuva. It's a real Siddur in this sense. Rabbi Netrunai is just like responding, what are the 100 blessings? Rabbi Amram, in the response to a question from Spain, right, Rabbi Amram gave, they asked him, how should you daven? And Rabbi Amram gave him the text, and that's the earliest tefillah, that sort of Siddur that we have, the Siddur of Rabbi Amram, that's the real Siddur that we have. Now,
is that more like Ashkenaz or more like Sfarad?
So, it's probably more like Sfarad, in the sense of, remember, this comes from Bavel, goes to Spain. Although it's not that different from the Nusach Ashkenaz that we have. Like we mentioned last week, just some of the verbiage is slightly different. Now, part of the process of writing Siddurim involved, how do I say this without getting in trouble? I don't know. But it involved a certain evolution of davening. Meaning to say that in the process of standardizing things and writing Siddurim, so things that used to happen more freely, more openly, individually, became part of a ritual, and everyone is doing it the same way. Right? I think that's Aleph Beis, and we mentioned this last week. Tonight, we're going to see an interesting aspect of this, which is in the Birchas HaShachar. You know, in the morning, we say these 16 brachos. Hanosin Asach Vivina, Pokeach Ivrim, Matir Asurim, right? Etc. We have all these brachos that we recite in the morning. Those are called Birchas HaShachar. There is a change that happened in some communities, not in all communities, but there's a change that happened to the Birchas HaShachar at the time period of the Gaonim, who are writing the first Siddur, and that changed the nature of Birchas HaShachar. So effectively what is emerging is that Birchas HaShachar at the time of the Gemara is one type of bracha, and then later on it changes and it becomes a different type of bracha, and there are halachic ramifications of that, as we'll see.
Are you saying that Birchas HaShachar is all one bracha?
Birchas HaShachar is not one bracha. It's 16 different brachos. But at the same time that it's 16 different brachos, the type of brachos that they are seems to have changed. Now, next introduction. Right? After we mentioned what the Siddur is, etc., and how things sometimes change, the next introduction is brachos. There are different types of brachos out there. Right? For example, if I want to make a bracha borei pri ha'etz and eat an apple, That type of bracha is called birchas hanehenin. Right? Now, by definition, birchas hanehenin is interesting because it's a matir, no? The Gemara says that I'm not allowed to derive any benefit from the world until I make a bracha. The food is not mine until I make a bracha. Hashamayim shamayim Hashem, aretz nos havnei Adam, I make a bracha, becomes mine. Birchas hanehenin is a matir. There are other types of brachos that are birchos shevach v'hoda'a. Birchas shevach v'hoda'a, for example, what's a good example? I hear thunder. So I praise God. Either one works, by the way. People sometimes think that, like, you have to say one on thunder, one on lightning. We pass in Shulchan Aruch, either works for either. So that's really fine. But the bracha that I make on thunder, no one's going to say that it's usher to hear thunder unless you made a bracha. Like, stop, don't, right? Don't do it. I didn't make the bracha, right? Now, and the halacha also is very different, right? Birchas hanehenin have to be made over la asiyasa. No, I can't eat my apple and then make a bracha afterwards and say, right? That's not birchas hanehenin. I do make a bracha after I eat an apple. The bracha achrona, which is bracha of shevach v'hoda'ah. Praise is done after the event, right? Birchas hanehenin is done before the event. So far, so good? Now, within this framework of brachos, birchas hamitzvos, the bracha that I make before lulav and shofar, and tzitzis and tefillin, and pick your mitzvah, birchas hamitzvos are somewhat interesting. Birchas hamitzvos, we do recite before we do the mitzvah. Although on a certain level, there are many rishonim who hold that you can make birchas hamitzvos after you did the mitzvah, no? There's a famous Ur Zarua that the Rama quotes in Yerodei Simin Yotes that after I shecht the animal, I can make the bracha. We don't do that. Right?
How can you say that you could say the bracha after you learn Torah?
So bracha after I learned Torah we don't make in some ways, because when I was a kid in camp, they used to always announce, learning never ends, learning groups are now over. Right? That basically is why you don't make a bracha after learning.
What?
Monk?
Camp Monk.
Yeah.
That was the expression. Learning never ends, learning groups are now over. Right? Learning never ends, but learning groups are now over, and you have to go back to your bunk and do cleanup or mess up or whatever it was. Huh?
Or play baseball
until Rabbi Monk came and screamed at you and sent you back to your bunk. Yeah, this is.
That's why you say in the beginning.
Huh?
That's why you say the bracha in the beginning.
So the bracha on mitzvos. Most Rishonim assume has to be made before I do the mitzvah. There are Rishonim, the Ur Zarua famously assumes that Birchas HaMitzvos are like Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'ah. I'm thanking God for creating an institution called a mitzvah. Just like I thank God for creating lightning, which is like an inspiring thing, mitzvahs are also inspiring. Right? The Ur Zarua, I think, is a very elegant shot. The Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik, always used to point out, the Rambam felt that Birchas HaMitzvos and Birchas HaNehenin are the same. And as a result, the Rambam begins those halachos with the word kishem. Just like you make a bracha on hanaz, you also make the bracha on all mitzvahs. Right? And the Rav had a famous approach that he felt like, just like birchas hanehenin is a matir, it's usur to get hana'ah from food until you make a bracha, the Rav felt it's usur to do a mitzvah without making a bracha because it's presumptuous. What gives me as a mortal man the right to try to approach the divine, the right to try to connect to God? I am basar v'dam, I'm ofer v'efer, I'm nothing. You want me to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rav said, you need a matir, you need a bracha to do that for you. Okay, so now, we have different types of brachos. Tonight's topic, the brachos of Pokeach Ivrim, right? God opens our eyes. What type of brachos are that? Birchas Hanehenin or Shevach Vodah? Why? So you're assuming that I'm thanking God for the creation of sight. I'm thanking God for the creation of sight. Alternatively, the bracha could be a birchas hanehenin. And I'm thanking God because I'm opening my eyes. And I'm now getting enjoyment and benefit from sight, from vision. No? Yeah, Ilana. So we're going to be talking about all these applications tonight. Right now, we are just fleshing out the two possibilities. And to go back to introduction number one, now let's read the Gemara together and let's look at how does the Gemara understand Birchas HaShachar. Zok the Gemara, Hanichnas Lishan Amitaso. This should happen to all of us tonight. Someone goes to sleep on his bed, or her bed. Omer, you say from Shema Yisrael Tov HaYam Shema. Okay. You get an impression, by the way, that you only say the first chapter of Shema and Kriya Shema Shahamita. Many Siddurim print all of Shema and Kriya Shema Shahamita based on the position of Rashi at the beginning of Brachas, that since they used to daven Ma'ariv early, they maybe did not fulfill the mitzvah Shema, so we say all of Shema is Kriya Shema Shahamita. So you say Shema. Va'omer baruch ha'mapu chavoy shein al einai tznu ma'alaf ha'pai me'elu shabbat mafana shem al-kai shetashki veni l'shalom v'sein chalki b'sor ha'secha v'sagi leinu l'dvar mitzvah v'atagi l'dvar v'ira v'atfinu l'dechet lo de avon v'lo de nisayom v'de bisayom v'isho b'yitzar tov v'isho b'yitzar rav v'sazayim b'pegara mechalim v'ir 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 v'chalmos v'ir 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 You say Hamapiel. Now, is Hamapiel a bracha on Hana'a, a bracha on Shavach Lahoda'a? Am I saying Hamapiel, right, on the Hana'a of going to sleep? Or am I saying Hamapiel as Shavach Lahoda'a, thanking God for the institution of sleep?
Isn't it Bakasha? Yeah, asking Hashem's protection.
Right, so it is certainly Bakasha. All of correct, but the type of bracha, if I have to categorize the bracha, bakasha is like a very general thing, but within these categories that we're developing, which
specifically for the night.
What?
Specifically for the night,
Hashem. Right, so at night we need additional protection from Hashem, 100%.
It's a technique. It's
what? So it's birchas hanehenen, yeah. Right? Yeah. Now, if it's birchas hanehenen, that means I'm making a bracha on going to sleep. And that might be why I'm not allowed to talk after Hamapio, because just like I can't talk after making a Bairi Priha 8 before eating my apple, no? I can't talk, right, after the Hamapio before I go to sleep. The other approach, as a Bircha Shevach V'Hoda'a, creates a certain promise to how come we don't talk. In other words, if I'm praising God for the institution of sleep, and I happen to have insomnia, in some ways that praises God, that inspires me to praise Hashem more about the institution of sleep, no? The fact that I can't sleep means I want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more for sleep. If Hamapiel is a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, which I'm not saying the Gemara means, but were it to be so then many poskim assume that the reason you don't talk after Hamapiel is because Hamapiel is technically a bracha smucha l'chaverita. We have a concept in halacha that when two brachas are connected to each other, so the second bracha does not open with word baruch. And the two brachas are connected, and because they're connected, we don't talk between them. Baruch she'amar is connected to a bracha called yishtabach. And I don't talk between Baruch Sha'amah and Yishtabach because it's a Bracha Smuchel Chaverta, and Yishtabach doesn't begin Baruch Atah Hashem because it's Bracha Smuchel Chaverta. It's connected to Baruch Sha'amah. So it could be that Hamapio is Bracha Smuchel Chaverta. This is something I heard in Camp Monk when I was 9 years old from Reb David Cohen the first time. But it could be that Hamapio, there is no... We don't talk after Hamapio because it's Bracha Smuchel Chaverta. It's connected to another Bracha called Elokai Neshama. In the morning I wake up and I say, Elokai, comma, Neshama Shanasati B'Tahorehi. God, you gave me a pure Neshama, which in some ways is the same theme as Hamapiel. So I don't talk, now that's a big chumra, no? That means you can't wait, you can't say nothing in the morning, hey, right? You wake up in the morning, you can't talk until you say Elokai Neshama. Forget about...
You can't answer the phone. Suppose the phone rings at 2 in the morning. Come on.
Again, I'm just presenting the possibilities. Okay, let's go on. So the first bracha the Gemara says is Hamapil. Then the Gemara says Mitar, when you wake up, by the way. Then the bracha Omer Elokai Nishamash Nasatibi Tahora, etc. Right, you created it in me, you blew the neshama into me, right? Atat mishama b'kirbi, you're going to take it away and you'll return it to me, and so long as the neshama is within me, I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I thank Hashem, etc. Now, what the Gemara is saying, again, might be the same idea. The Elokai neshama is connected to Hamapil, but that's a different topic. Next, Kishama kol tarnagola. When you hear the sound of a rooster, Leima, you should say, Baruch Hashem Nosan Lasech Vivino Lahavchen Ben Yom Ben Laila. That God gave, Sechvi means the rooster, presumably, although the Rishonim point out that actually the more correct translation of Sechvi is the heart. The Pasuk in Eov speaks about Hanosan Lasech Vivino is referring to the heart. It parallels the lave. Right? What we're basically saying is that just like the rooster has a certain knowledge to distinguish between day and night, so we have that in our lave, we have that in our hearts. Now, the Gemara says that when I hear the rooster, are there roosters in Washington Heights anyone hears in the morning?
Skunks.
There are skunks, right? Thank you. We're not so appreciative of those. So I remember as a kid, well, I'm not a kid, when I was in YU, there was a guy who used to slaughter roosters right in front of his window, right near the yeshiva. There's some religion. Yeah. So there are lots of roosters and chickens and stuff that some people slaughter, but I don't hear them doing cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning. I still make the bracha. The simple ring of the Gemara, though, is I don't make the bracha. It's only when I hear the rooster. Then the Gemara says, Kipasach Ene, when you open your eyes, you say Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. Right? When you open your eyes, you say Pokeach Ivrim. It happens that there's another text in the Gemara. The other text in the Gemara is when you put your hands on your eyes, you say Poseach Ivrim. Right? In other words, sometimes it's like some dirt on your eyes. So I put my hand on my eyes to wipe that dirt away, and that's when I say Pokeach Ivrim according to the other text. It could be that the question that some of the poskim discuss as to whether a blind person, Rahman al-Islam, makes Pokeach Ivrim depends on these two texts. If it has to be that I open my eyes, presumably opening a blind person, the opening of the eyes is not really significant. But the wiping it off, again, there is a certain benefit, it's no longer uncomfortable. Then the Gemara says, Ki taritz v'siv, when you straighten yourself out and you sit down, you say Matir Asurim. Right? When you get dressed, you say Malbish Arumim. When you straighten up, you say Zokif Kefufim. When you step down on the ground, you say Haroka Aris Alamayim. When you walk, you say Mechem Mitzade Gover. When you put on your shoes, you say Shasoli Kotzarki. When you put on your belt, you say Ozei Yisrael B'Gvura. When you put something on your head, you say Otei Yisrael B'Sifara, etc. Now, these are the Brachos Birchos HaShachar. This is a Gemara that has the actual text of Brachos, which is very rare. Like we mentioned, most of the Siddur does not have an actual text. It's on the Gemara. But when I read the Gemara, I get the impression that the Birchos HaShachar are Birchos HaNehenin. Right? Because what's the Gemara saying? When I do this, right? When I put something on my head, I say, Otei Yisrael B'Sif Ara. Hanosin Le'yov Koch is not found in the Gemara. Hanosin Le'yov Koch, in fact, Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch says, some people say the bracha of Hanosin Le'yov Koch, and it's wrong. You shouldn't say it, because Rabbi Yosef Karo assumes that we only make those brachas that are found in Shulchan Aruch. Ashkenazim, for some reason, say it. Big mystery as to why. Different topic, but Hanosin Koach is not there. But you get the impression from the Gemara that all these brachas are Birchas Hanenen. And you also get another impression from the Gemara, which is a bigger chiddush. What?
Bakosha.
They're bakoshos. You said this before. What do you mean by bakosha? I'm thanking God.
Please help me get up. And as you said, let's say,
First of all, I'm not saying please. I'm saying that God is the source that gives the tired people strength. Right? I'm not. It's.
You need strength to face the day.
I'm not denying that. But the impression I get from the Gemara is that the Gemara is connecting all of these brachas to specific activities. And there's a bigger chiddush in the Gemara, though, two chiddushim. I put my hat on my head all the way at the end, no? Correct? I mean, in the order of the Gemara, the last thing that we saw is Otei Yisrael B'Sif'ara, when I put something on my head. That means I was making all these brachas without a yarmulke. When did I wash Negelwasser? I didn't. I'm making all these brachas before Negelwasser.
Well, nowadays we say them. We don't say.
Nowadays
get up. We say them in the davening. You've already got dressed.
Correct. And this is the point that we made at the beginning. There is a change that took place at the period of the Gaonim, mm-hmm. when they wrote a Siddur, mm-hmm. between the Gemara is basically speaking about activities that happen that a person makes a bracha on his or her own at home. It's not part of communal davening at all, and it's a bracha, I would argue, of Birchas Hanehenin, perhaps. It's a bracha that I'm getting Hana'ah. I enjoy the fact that there's something on my head, I enjoy the fact that there's something on my waist, etc. So we'll talk about all of this in 5 minutes, or 3 minutes. Good. Now, look at the way the Rush formulates it. Quoting on this Gemara, Kohanach brachos shehein lahana aso, like mal b'sharumim, oite Yisrael, asisali kotzarki, im eno nena mehen, kegon sheshacha mitaso arum, eno mevarech osam. Says the Rush, all these brachos are birchas hanehenin, and if you don't enjoy them, you don't have the particular activity, so then you don't make the bracha. Today, the practice is that we make all these brachos after we wash the Tilas Yadayim. Right? In other words, at the time of Gemara, they made these before Netilas Yadayim, right? Etc. Aye, the Gemara in Pesachim says, you make a bracha before the activity happens, so how come today we make them in Shul afterwards? So when we say that you need Ovelas Yosef, that's Birchas HaMitzvah, right? But a bracha of Hoda'ah and Shevach doesn't need Ovelas Yosef. So the two opinions here in the Rush are very interesting. Right? The Rush saying in the Gemara, it's Birchas HaNehenen. Today we make the bracha in Shul after it happened, because for us today, it's Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'ah, not Birchas HaNehenen. That's what the Rush said. Now, when did this change happen? So the earliest source of this change is Seder Reb Amram Gon, which he mentions the first Siddur written in Judaism. Seder Reb Amram Gon writes, in the context of the Meir Bracha, so you're supposed to say every day, right? According to some Rishonim, what happened was that David HaMelech, there was a plague, and 100 people were dying from his army every day. So David instituted that you should recite 100 brachas every day, and that protected the 100 people. And that's the Meir Brachos B'chol Yom. Al Tikre Vata Yisrael Ma Hashem Alkecha Sho'el Mimach. Al Tikre Ma Ela Me'a. You should make 100 brachos every day. Reb Amram Gon says, you ask, what are these? You say the Tefillos of Brachos Shoshana Kula Shosha'alta Sher Anu Min HaShamayim. Fasting Seder Reb Amram Gon. This is where it begins. This is the first Seder in Judaism. They showed us from the heaven. It sounds like Reb Amram got some Giloy.
Like Yosef Karo.
Like Rabbi Yosef Karo, we have from other sources that he had a magid. In the Shulchan Aruch, you don't get the impression that's in Warblowski's work about Rabbi Yosef Karo, lawyer and mystic. He notes that he was the mechaber is like two different people. The Rabbi Yosef Karo of the Magid Meshurim, like talking to Eliyahu Hanavi and talking to the Magid. That's the Shulchan Aruch is like a normal halacha book. You don't get an impression of any of the heebie-jeebies, no? It's not there. So Rabbi Amrigon says, this that you asked about all the tefillos, so I'm going to put them in order according to the tradition that we have. Rabbi Meir says you should make 100 brachas every day. In the Yerushalmi, they quote that there's no Jew doesn't do 100 mitzvahs every day. David instituted them when the people in Yerushalayim said that there were many Jews, 100 Jews were dying every day. He instituted this Meir brachos. He says that David instituted it, but they were forgotten, then later on it was put together. And these 100 brachos, Rav Natrunai tells me, right, in his tshuva to Alisana, that came from Rav Yosef Ma'ari Naim, that we make all of them b'shaita, like it says in Perek Haro'e, e'efshar, b'pnei tenufas yadayim ha'askaniyos, ha'asuyas ha'mashmesh. But when you wake up, you wash your hands, and then you make the bracha. In other words, Reb Natrunai Gon is saying, this is the year 825, Reb Natrunai is saying, you know what? Don't make the brachas the way the Gemara says it, because your hands are dirty. So the change came about at the time of Reb Natrunai. Now, when I took a class in Bernard Revel, now it's 15 years ago, or 16 years ago, because I'm an old man. So, Professor Tabori assigned us an article by Meir Chavatzelet called Seder Brichas HaShachar B'Hishtal Shaluso. And Meir Chavatzelet, in this article, has the following suggestion, which is what changed, really, was at the time period of the Gaonim, the surrounding society was very worried about Shadim. And they were very worried also about Ruach Ra'ah that would be on your hands that came from Shadim. The concept of Ruach Ra'ah is not really found in the Gemara. Negelvasser for Ruach Ra'ah is Negelvasser was in the Gemara in terms of Hikol Nikras Ol Kecha. To prepare for davening, you should wash your hands. Right? For Tosefes Kedusha. But to remove Ruach Ra'ah, to remove a bad spirit, is a concept that came about at the time of the Gaonim. Therefore, at the time of the Gemara, there was no prohibition to make brachas with your hands being dirty. Right? Dirty, not dirty in the sense of mamish dirty. Of course, if there's schmutz on your hands, like real dirt, you can't make a bracha. But we're talking about just ruach ra'ah, just like our hands in the morning are not really dirty. We wash negelvasser to remove this ruach ra'ah. The concept ruach ra'ah came into Judaism around this time of the Gaonim. And these same Gaonim were changing Birchas HaShachar, which used to be a bracha that you said when you woke up and you hear the rooster. They changed it into something that became part of the davening based on this Ruach Ra'ah idea, so they felt they couldn't make the brachas beforehand. That's Meir Chavatzelet's argument. It's worth thinking about. Now, just to go very quickly, the Rambam had an approach to Yiddishkeit that the Rambam did not like the new practices of the Gaonim. No? This is what Professor Twersky wrote about at length. Chaim, in his second volume of Collected Writings, Chaim Soloveitchik, has these ideas as well. The Rambam felt that the Gaonim were changing Yiddishkeit. The Rambam is into primary sources. Primary sources being Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Midrashei Halacha. Something like Ruach Ra'ah, that's not found in Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Midrashei Halacha, the Rambam is going to say, Birchas HaShachar, which according to Talmud Bavli is Birchas HaNehenin, the Rambam is going to say, don't do it the way the Gaonim are saying to do it, because the Rambam, right, feels that the Gaonim are changing Yiddishkeit. No? Gaonim, by the way, is roughly 7th century until 12th century in Baghdad. No? In Fallujah? Fallujah is Pumbedisa. Baghdad is Sura. You know, Fallujah, hey, remember? The worst place in the world. Right? But that was Klal Yisrael's capital. The capital of Talmud Bavli, of Torah, was in Fallujah. Okay, let's go on. So, the Rambam writes that when you put on your belt, you make Ozei Yisrael B'Gvura. When you put on your shoes, you say Shal Sisali Kol Tzarki. when you go outside, you say Hamechem Etzade Gover, and you say them every day, right, etc. All these 18 brachos, the Rambam says, there's no particular order. Fine. Then the Rambam writes, Naha in Halacha Ches, Naha Go Ha'am Berov Areinu Levar Brachos Elu, Zu Achazu Bebeis HaKnesses, Bein Yischaivu Behem, Bein Lo Yischaivu Behem. Right, that the practice is that in shul they'd make these brachas, whether or not they were obligated, whether or not they heard the rooster. V'to'osu, v'ein roi lasos kein. Don't make the bracha unless you were obligated. The Rambam is saying, Pashit Talmud Bavli. So far so good? Now, the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, following the Rambam, says, do not make these brachas unless you heard the rooster. No? But Ashkenazim, following the Gaonim, end up making these brachos afa pishol nischaivu b'hem. That's what emerges. Even though I didn't hear the rooster, even though I'm not wearing a belt one day, I make the bracha. Why? Because we assume that these brachos are shevach odah, they're praising Hashem, even though, right, I myself wasn't obligated. The tour presents the same thing. The Torah just adds a wrinkle. The Torah says that not only did they start saying it in shul because the hands were dirty, but the Torah adds a wrinkle, which is that they start incorporating it into davening in shul because there were Amei Ha'aretz who didn't know how to make the brachos and they wanted to be motzi them. The different cultures of where there were more Amei Ha'aretz and Ashkenaz and Sfarad is something that's worth thinking about, but that's not for now. The Mechaber and the Mechaber, we said, quotes to the Rambam. The Ramah, however, says that here in Sifches, in Shulchan Aruch, the bottom source, Sifches says, quotes to Mechaber, all these brachos, you don't make them if you're not obligated in them, if you didn't hear the rooster or you didn't walk, etc. The Ramah says that afilo lo nischayif behem, you make the brachas because the bracha is not for you. The bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these things. Now, what should emerge is that there are many nafkaminas between this approach. Let's just go very quickly. One is something that we mentioned earlier about a blind person who doesn't really get hana'ah. According to the Ramah, one could argue that a blind person should make the bracha. In fact, the Maharshal and other achrayinim discuss that maybe a blind person should make the bracha pokei chivrim. Another nafkamina could be, and this is Ezra Schwartz's suggestion, but I think it actually bears out, which is, what's the text of the bracha? There are different nuscha'os and different sidurim. Some people say Hamechen Tzadigover, others say Asher Hechen. Right? Right? Asher Hechen in Breuers, right? Now, what's the difference between Hamechen and Asher Hechen? So Asher Hechen is that God prepared. It sounded like it happened. Hamechen means that it's always happening. If the Ramah is correct, that the bracha is a bracha al seder ha'olam, so then the text of the bracha should be, right, should be, if it's al seder ha'olam, so then I would say it should be hamechim, that God always is preparing. That's the way the world is. Asher hechim, that God prepared, sounds like it's more individual, more for me. The Rambam, who says that these brachos are only if you're obligated, the Rambam has all these brachos in the individual sort of way. Rather than in the general way. Yeah, Frida?
Has anybody ever asked a blind person what he thinks about it?
About light?
About okay, I can agree.
I'm sure someone has. I haven't. But I don't know if that is really material, because like what we have to deal with is the halachic question, should you make the bracha? Now, the Gemara, by the way, says that blind people get some enjoyment from light, insofar as everyone, more people could help them. A blind person, right, if it's dark, so then the person leading the blind person might trip.
True.
Right? So there is...
Okay. What? You can say a paraplegic.
All these types of things, correct. Right? In other words, I can make these brachos because I can make these brachos because the Ashkenazi psak is that these brachos are seder ha'olam, again, which is coming from the Gaonim. One could argue as follows, and this is a point. There's an excellent sefer on Hilchos Tefillah, which I thought we had here in this Beis Medrash, but I don't see it now, called the Ishei Yisrael. It's like the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa on Davening. So in the Ishei Yisrael in Perakei, he goes through all these dinim. So There's a discussion in Poskim whether we say afal pi sheyatza motzi. If I already made the bracha, can I make the bracha for you? And we paskin that by birchas hanehenin, I cannot be motzi you if I was already yotze, but by birchas shevach v'hoda I can. Right? So if the bracha in the morning is birchas hanehenin, so then I can't be motzi you if I was already yotze. If it's shevach v'hoda, I could. He also points out from the Sefer Ketzos HaShochon, the Ketzos HaShochon was Rav Avram Chaim Noeh, who interestingly, besides having the smallest shiurim in Judaism, was the Lubavitcher Posek in Yerushalayim, who happened to live in Shchunat HaBucharim. I don't know how this happened. You have a Lubavitcher Posek in Yerushalayim who lives in Shchunat HaBucharim. But Rav Avram Chaim Noeh discusses, at what time of day am I obligated to make these brachas? Let's say I wake up in midnight. To say Tikkun Chatzos or the like. Do I make the brachas then? Or do I make the brachas only once the day really begins? By Alos HaShachar, let's say. Or Hanes HaCham, but probably Alos HaShachar. So, Rabbi Avram Chaim Noah says that if the brachas are Al Seder HaOlam, the way the world operates, you should make the brachas when normal people wake up. Alos HaShachar. But if the brachas are on my personal thing, so I personally wake up, I personally hear the rooster. Whenever I hear the rooster, I can make the bracha then.
Most of the brachas make sense, they relate to it, but why the shoes also be called
tzarchi? Right, so why shoes should also be called tzarchi? So it happens that shoes were considered a luxury item. Usuli kotsarki means without the shoes, all my needs, my basic needs are taken care of, and now I even have shoes. Right? It's really, that's the bracha shasla kotsarki. Now, the question about...
Leather was a luxury.
Leather was a luxury, certainly. Now, the mission, the Achronim in Hilchos Tisha B'Av in Tavkuf Nun Dalad Sifkat and Lamed Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah discusses the Yemek Shasali called Sarki on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur when you don't wear leather shoes. Right? So the standard practice is that you make the bracha, no? If you're Lubavitch, you don't say the bracha on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. It says in the Lubavitcher Siddur, on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you don't say it. The Vilna Gaon didn't say it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now, this...
I thought you saved it for the afternoon.
What?
I thought you saved that for the afternoon.
So, the afternoon, we still don't wear shoes. The Vilna Gaon used to make the bracha Matzai Tisha B'Av and Matzai Yom Kippur when he put on his leather shoes after Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. That's what it says in the Maaser Rav. You make the bracha after Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But... this issue also depends on our question. If it's a birchas hanehenin, so then I'm not really getting hana'a. If it's a birchas sheva hodam, thanking Hashem, so the fact is there is a concept called shoes. Some argue though, then the Aruch HaShulchan has this, an interesting pshara. The Achrayim discussed, you make the bracha of she'asolei kotzarki if a person rachman slan is an avelos, and you're not wearing leather shoes for a week during shiva. So the Aruch HaShulchan splits. He says that during Avelos you make the bracha, but on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur you don't make the bracha. And his approach is that since the bracha, according to Ashkenazim, is al Seder HaOlam, is on the way God made the world, so for an Avel, everyone is wearing shoes. I happen to be different now. I'm not wearing shoes. So I can still make the bracha, because that is the normal Derech HaOlam. But Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the Olam, the only Olam that matters is, right, Unzer, right, is Anash. That's the only group that matters. So on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, so he assumes that you don't make the bracha, that's the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan, which I always found to be interesting. So, these are just some of the points that we wanted to make in terms of the Birchas HaShachar. I thank you for listening. What's also interesting to note, maybe, I'm not sure if I want to discuss this next week or not, there was a whole school of brachos that we don't make anymore, but were made at the time of the Yerushalmi, at least. The bracha of Magbia Shvalim. Right? And some of these brachos do have echoes in the Piyutim on davening. We can maybe discuss that next week. I'm not sure. The other alternative would be that next week we'll just move on to Pesukei Dezimra. Again, I want to spend a few more weeks on talking about davening, just because if you talk about davening, hopefully you'll daven better, and that's one of the goals. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.